What's up, everybody? This is Press X to Start Podcast, and this is episode 14 of season 5.
Wait, I'm sorry. Excuse me. You mean the multi-award-winning Press X to Start Podcast.
Sorry, you're right. It's been a week, and I already forgot. Mm-hmm. That's a shame. I mean, it's just when you win so many awards, it just kind of gets lost in the ether. You know what I mean? But we here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view, as well as bring restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, oh my god, developers and consumers.
You got it, man. It's foggy Sunday. You're good. We believe in you.
I had a moment. But I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishnigaville, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of be watching niggas, a.k.a. in case you forgot, fuck 12, justice for Dante Wright.
Hell yeah.
Yes, and 12 is the amendment within the Constitution associated with drug enforcement, right?
I remember people saying fuck 12 on the news, and the reporter was like, man, they really hate a curfew around here. Oh, God.
Oh, the whites.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What does M.F. stand for?
I know Marcus better not be reading lines like that on Tavern Brawl.
Look, man, I'll be able to have the benefit of hearing cut in action at that point in time.
More like you'll have the benefit of an editor.
I'm the editor.
You're right.
I'm the captain now.
Wouldn't that be a bitch if that was in your contract? All right, now get back here and make this shit sound good. Anyway.
I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. the Interstellar Don, because that's still happening, a.k.a. did you know we have fantastic news?
Ooh, what?
They are working on a live-action Gundam movie, guys.
No one cares.
Also, fun fact, the same dude, John Voight Roberts, I believe, the same guy who is in charge of the Metal Gear Solid movie is also going to be doing this. So this man is juggling game and anime and all that stuff, and he'll either be the messiah of the nerd community or public enemy number one, depending on how these go.
Now, are they still making a Metal Gear Solid film? Is that still on the book?
No, that's still in the works. Oscar Isaac has signed on. Like, it's moving.
So here's the thing. I don't appreciate you hijacking my Did You Know to talk about Metal Gear, because right now we're talking about Gundam. So
we talked about the more important thing.
If it's more important, spell it.
What?
That's what I thought. Anyway, John Voight Roberts, he also created Skull Island, or King Kong, Kong Skull Island. So
I mean, yeah. he
has experience doing big things fighting each other. So I'm excited for this. I just hope that he goes with the correct franchise for Gundam.
Yeah, G Gundam.
Which one?
Huh? Yeah, G Gundam.
Said G Gundam. What about you know what? What about Gundam 00? Like, how about we do Gundam 00?
That gave me an instant headache, by the way.
I mean, why not just make Big O?
Big O's good. No.
How about Voltron?
You all are providing horrible ideas, okay? We're done with this. It's 0079 original Gundam. That's what he has to do. We need, like, the first Gundam series. We need to understand why they have a war.
Soldiers and Blood Diamonds?
Yes, yes.
That's every Gundam.
Yeah. Yes, yes. We need that first. Then we can branch out to the 0080 and fucking G-Gun.
I couldn't give you a single piece of information about Gundam. I have never.
Shiny finger.
To the listeners, DJ speaking into ether right now, so...
Yeah, introduce yourself, Jordan, so we can move on.
Yeah, Jordan, a.k.a. JXpot, a.k.a. The Outrider. You know what? I don't know my Outrider's name, because usually those type of games, they give you like Shepard or...
it doesn't matter what
you're nobody,
is.
Because you're the last, but you're everywhere, because they're all of you.
But yeah,
I believe the name of your Outrider is your Xbox handle.
I'd be cool with that. That's more personable. Yeah, Jordan, The Outrider, and that's all I've been playing this week. I mean, that and Wreckfest. Yeah.
Oh, so you just slide into what you've been playing? Okay.
No, not now, but later in a second.
You did it. You did it. It's too late. You were last. You did it. You've been playing Outriders. Right,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
you've been playing trash.
So, now that we got that out the way, we're going to go into what we've been playing. So, since you was talking already, go ahead, Jordan. Tell us what you've been playing.
I have been playing Outriders for the majority of the week. That is the only game that really comes to mind right now. They fixed the crossplay features. So, I tried to get a session in with my friend who got Outriders for PC. But he got the Outriders demo, so the demo does not allow for crossplay with owners of it. So he's gonna probably get it proper. He's probably gonna get it proper, so he can, you know, finally be able to play it.
That sucks. You would think that would drive sales if, like, you see your friends who own the full game and they got some bomb ass armor. But you know.
But I have friends that were playing it on PlayStation 5. They bought it. And I was able to crossplay with them. You know, like the way crossplay works is you generate a code and you give it to them and they are able to join your session. But they were able to communicate to each other through their PlayStation apps.
Party.
The party app. But I connected to their party app via the PlayStation app.
So on your phone?
My mic was hooked up to my phone. So I was able to play with them via
that.
What
kind of head ass shit is that? They got crossplay talking on Call of Duty and Apex Legends and Fortnite. Mm-hmm. What kind of? Who made this game again?
Isn't there in-game chat though?
People that can fly. No, there's no in-game chat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, you know, like
this your king?
I mean, I am enjoying the game. Like I'm at level 25 right now.
Ooh. What's your world tier?
We were playing on world tier 7.
Okay. Are they like similar level to you or are you higher?
No, they're actually level 30. They're actually level 30. So like they've already beat the campaign. The campaign is longer than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
The story beats are still the same and you know, like you can have pay attention to it. But you know, what is still fun is the core gameplay.
Okay.
Like one of them is running the Pyro class. And the other one is running the Devastator class.
Okay. Mm.
So, like, the Devastator class has perks that allows him to heal us up. Because, like, you can get jumped real quick.
Yeah.
You know, like, they'll swarm you, and we need a healer. And then, like, the Devastator has this perk that allows you to heal everyone once they reach a certain percentage. And, I'm still Trickster. And yeah, it's been really fun, you know, and I'm glad that they were proactive and allowing for crossplay because remember, Division still doesn't have crossplay. There's a few games of service games that do not have crossplay, and I'm glad that they are coming with crossplay outside the box so I can, I didn't want to spend the full 70 on it. They did, and they're playing on their PS5s, and I was like,
why didn't you
want
to spend 70 on it, Jordan?
Well, so I mean, it's...
I have a question.
I'll answer Sean's question. Okay. Like, it just seems like that game would not have been something I would have spent money on like, at least a full price on the onset. But we've already talked about the psychology of this game. Like, I'm getting a tremendous amount of benefit of it because I did not spend that much money on it.
Because it had to be subsidized. Just like the oil.
While with them, like the people I was playing with PS5, they, you know, found value in it and decided to pay $70 for it because, you know, they enjoyed the game. But DJ, you had a question.
My question was if the game was taken off of Game Pass, like, I don't know, next week, would you just be like, all right, I guess I'm done with the game, or would you actually pay $70 to continue playing?
It depends on what other content has been added to it because, like, I'm going to beat the core game before it's off Game Pass. Like, there is no window where it's going to be off of Game Pass next week or let alone next month. I mean, there are games on Game Pass that have been on there for over a year now, being the Kingdom Hearts games, Yakuza games. Like,
I'm just getting at, like, how much do you value your enjoyment of the game? Like, would you go forward and pay money for the game to continue playing the game?
If I beat the whole story. Without beating the story?
Yeah,
I'd probably fork over the money.
Okay.
Like, because I am truly enjoying it, and I'm also truly enjoying playing with my friends in this game.
That's good, though. That's,
you know? So, I'm enjoying it, and you know what? It's not available free on Game Pass PC.
Mm.
It's exclusively free on Game Pass for Xbox Series X. That was what my friend on PC learned over the week, so.
Actually, another thing to note about Outriders that we won't have this in the news because it's just numbers, but for the MPD software sales for March 2021, Outriders is actually number 3. Number 2 is Monster Hunter Rise, and number 1 is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And of course, with these numbers, the way that works, it says it's for March, but it usually covers the first week of the next month. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty successful. And like, we are trying to see how this Game Pass experience affects the future development of the game or their ability to develop more content. But that's what I've been playing core, like in terms of games. But I did get myself a new PC. I'm still setting it up. It's, you know, ready to go. Like, it's powered by one of those RTX 380s. Their 3080 graphics cards. Nice.
Yeah.
And I, you know, got my Steam on there, got my Game Pass PC on there, got my Epic Games on there.
Remember to download LimeWire and BearShare.
But
LimeWire and BearShare.
Like, I just wonder how I juggle these three video game platforms. Like, I imagine myself playing more strategy games on my PC. And shooting games and racing games on my console.
Hey, are you gonna try Valorant, or have you tried that?
You know, like that's the thing. Like, this PC is gonna expose me to like weird titles, different titles that aren't available on Xbox Series X or PS5. Like the games about Valorant,
Escape from Tarkov, and all that type of shit.
Yeah, I might check it out. And I mean, I don't see myself becoming one of those PC people, but hey, you never know. But that's all I got to say for that.
All right.
So, Sean, what you been playing?
Yeah. I've been trying a little bit of everything recently because I just got
you a freak.
I mean, you know.
Buffet.
I got a whole 5 terabyte hard drive external for the PS5.
Thick terabytes.
So, you know, you can play your PS4 games. So I just downloaded a bunch of other collection games. And I've been, like, dabbling in stuff that I used to play back in the day. So I started up Life is Strange. Whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just start trying everything. Shadow of War, although that shit just don't hit the same for some reason as when it came out. I did play the Village demo. So Resident Evil 8 Village.
How was that?
Big woman still there?
You don't see her in the demo, at least. I didn't get that far.
I'm not interested.
So you have a 30-minute time limit in the game. And apparently DJ said the demo was only up for 8 hours or so.
Yeah.
Because classic Capcom.
I'm surprised I got it. Like, I didn't even realize that. I just was like, oh, it's available. I saw there was a 30-minute time limit, and I did not dilly-dally. I took off running, like, from as soon as that shit booted up. I started running for, like, resources and shit. You know, found a gun, found a shotgun, got my knife, all that good stuff. And, you know, you come across villagers, they're slamming doors, trying to hide. And I think I went to go look for something, and
Villagers are hiding from you?
Well, there are lycans, a.k.a. werewolves, running around, and other monsters just in the village. So they just, they hear something, and they run in the house and slam the door.
Gotcha.
And, man, I have it on normal, and these dudes are beating my ass. Like, they swarm you.
Oh, wow.
Like, the first encounter I had, it was like 3 of them, and they don't go down very easy.
Oh.
And then I think the next thing, I got down all of them, but now I used all my bullets. And came across 4 more and was just slicing away desperately. Got my ass chewed up.
Jesus.
Fun way. Oh, God.
I'm going to get the game. Probably not at release. But I'm gonna work my way through it. I'm curious.
Sean, I
finished 7. Yeah.
The hard drive conversation, like, so it's a mechanical hard drive you have hooked up. So like playing games off of that, do you find like it's more space now?
Well, yeah. You cannot play PS5 games on there. You can only store them on there and then transfer them back and forth. But you can play your PS4 games on there, and I think this one that I got is like faster than whatever was in the PS4. I wanted a SSD external, but I'm not willing to pay, you know, the prices that they want. I think the largest they have is like 2 terabyte, and that shit is a couple hundred bucks. I got this one for $90, so you know.
I share the same sentiment. Like, my hard drive is attached to the PS5, and playing PS4 games is fun on there. But I also wish I could play PS5 games off of the same thing with the Xbox Series X. You can't play optimized games off of the mechanical hard drive either.
I mean, they're not built for it yet. The speed isn't there.
Right.
But yeah, I played the Village demo, and then the only thing I really like put some time into was Zombie Army 4 Dead War with Marcus Cam and DJ
Gang.
And then I went back and played by myself. We did stream it, although I think you can't hear everybody's audio for some reason.
Yeah, the next time we stream it, because the last time we streamed in a group, it was Division 2.
Yeah.
And I think we were all, or maybe all yeah, but you one of us. Of oh, yeah, but I think it was you were the only one playing on PS5, or maybe it was just you and me. And then,
so they need to update their settings.
So okay. I think... this time we were all on PS5. Okay, so
you
say
you could only hear me and you on Zombie Army.
Yeah, it was only us two.
So here's a fuckery, right? Because we actually did a Division stream where we all had PS5.
No, we did not. No, we didn't.
No?
No.
I remember playing Division with someone and I was on my PS5.
Okay, but y'all, you weren't streaming though. I was not playing with y'all.
Okay. But I actually went back and checked my settings, and like the settings are correct. So I think it might just be in the party. You have to go to the party and make sure it's correct.
No, there's multiple settings. That's what it is. It's multiple settings, because I found that out the hard way, where I was like, oh, so you have to have that stream setting on in your party.
Yeah.
And Sony's UI is shit, man. It is. It's not great. But so continue, Sean.
I played Zombie Army. There was one portion where we were all playing, and the connection is weird. This is all, I don't know if they were selling this at one point on PS4, but it plays like a free-to-play game, because they have three guns for your primary, secondary, and sidearm.
Mm-hmm.
And past that, you have to buy each one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like at one point, who got stuck? Either Cam or Marcus.
Oh, when
got stuck in place and had to drop back.
Yeah. I my character ended up, because I went to go loot a zombie. And then it just kept me in the looting position.
Yeah.
And so I had to drop out and drop back in. Mm-hmm. You know, it was funny. It wasn't like a big inconvenience, but it was like it was a interesting bug.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me when they were on this moving ship, where for some reason I frozen in place. Floating in air. this game just does wacky stuff. But I mean, it doesn't have that many bugs.
Right. Those it's also just, free.
Yeah.
This is fun to play with friends.
It is.
So just a real quick, me and Cam played the same game. I'm going to talk about it when I get to my turn, but we jumped on to something about this game that we both kind of chuckled at. Is like, I'm being hyperbolic, but this game offers the exact same experience as Outriders, where it's like, this game is fun to play with friends. It has its issues, but like, generally, like, if you had to pay for this game, you'd be like, I think I'll skip this game.
You'd have, absolutely. I mean, somebody's paying for it. We're up to number four.
Well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing I say with Sniper Elite.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that, you know, that there's a certain type of person, I guess, that, you know, would pay full for Outriders, would pay full for Zombie Army.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they're looking for a very specific type of experience.
I mean, this is a fourth version in the series of Zombie Army.
Right.
So like, this game is popular.
There are many games that fit that category of like, how is this number four or five? Because it has a very specific amount of users, but also like, I think they also reuse a lot of game engine assets. And so
I mean, it speaks to a certain niche. There are definite, it's a cult kind of favorite type of game, and I mean, I'm not going to knock it,
but then you have like the Call of Duties and Battlefields and like the God of Wars, the big tentpole games, and those seem like more of a larger endeavor that reaches a wider audience,
right. It's built that way.
But I mean, I just replayed it by myself just to level up, because it's interesting enough, you know, it's interesting enough to play. It has enough action to satisfy a certain itch. And like I always say, download all the free games, man. Try them shits. You know, you never know what you may like playing. It may turn you on to different genres or just a specific series, you know, but I mean, that's it though. DJ or Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus, you can go.
All right. So outside of the usual Overwatch, and we already talked about how we all linked up and played Zombie Army 4, and that was a lot of fun to do. I finally got my hands on It Takes Two. I played with my girlfriend.
It Takes Two. And
we played, we were able to play local.
Okay.
So we were right next to each other. And it was fun. I legitimately enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it a little more than she did.
But why? What did she not like? Who did you play as?
Was it too slow for her?
No, it's not so much that it's too slow. Okay. And I played as the husband and she played as the wife. I think it's May and
Cody. Cole?
Cody? Yeah, Cody. But I think it's just I'm a more patient gamer than she is. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum. My bread and butter with video games is usually story-based games that, like, you know, it's all about the experience. And she's a little more so, you know, some of her favorite video games, Borderlands.
She about that action-oriented.
Right, well, yeah, yeah.
That's what I was getting at, if the game was too slow for her in terms of, like, is the pacing too slow in terms of, like,
oh,
are we not doing
to a degree
action? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, she is very much so a run-and-gun type.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually like Borderlands. That's like Shadow Borderlands, right?
Right, yeah, whereas, yeah, like, you know, we can be collaborative on Overwatch because everybody's playing their role, but mm-hmm. the goal is to take out the other team. Right. So, like, mm-hmm. as long as you're filling up your role in the job, then she can do her thing. With this, it's so very
you
much
still
so...
You still have a role, but you're not fighting.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you have a shared goal.
It's a platformer mm-hmm. first.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she doesn't really do platformers that much. And I'm not saying that she didn't enjoy herself at all. I definitely was probably enjoying myself a little more, though. But we didn't play for super long. We got to the first boss battle of the game, which was a vacuum cleaner.
Okay.
Nice.
And we took that out. And then we had to go take care of some other stuff. So we only played maybe, I think, an hour or so. But so far, I'm really enjoying myself with the game. I can definitely see how special it is. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to kind of continuing forward with the story and seeing if they can fix their marriage or if they go a more realistic route.
It's hilarious how such a depressing concept is an allegory to this young girl's, you know, her trying to comprehend what's going on.
That's the bread and butter of indie games. And this story is full on kind of Pixar.
Yeah.
Bruh, just wait till you get further in. You're going to see why her parents be ignoring her.
She's a small white child, so I'm not surprised. I'm so annoyed. But no, the one thing I want to bring up is that love book
is annoying.
I can't tell if it's problematic or not.
His accent?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
So he's just full on, hey Holmes, you know, grab this hand.
That's not good.
So the thing is, the person, the voice actor to that, I believe, is actually Mexican or Hispanic.
That's just how he talks.
Hispanic or Latinx descent, but we don't know his actual country.
That's the proper way. But and then the person that is doing the mocap for that book is the director of this game, the guy, I forget his name.
I mean, I guess it's not so much that I was worried that it was a white dude doing the voice and more so just like
it's
he's such a stereotype.
He's such a,
you know, but honestly.
No. What you have valid like concerns questions. Because that's a thing that a lot of people have pointed to in terms of like, this feels kind of wrong.
What I will say is we are not of the Latinx community, so
we can't be offended for them.
Right. Cool with it, if they don't got a problem with it, then I mean.
Well, like one thing we can do, like we know Asian stereotypes, we know black stereotypes.
Oh, yeah, we can call it out. Yeah, but it's just it's one of those situations, I think, where we're not the one that's supposed to bear the cross for someone else's community if. Like
we could be an ally.
Absolutely.
And call it out.
But if they're just like, "Hey, yo, chill," it's cool. Yeah. Right. Then it's like, "All right, fine."
I mean, he hasn't done anything stereotypical though. It's just the voice. He hasn't discussed or talked about anything remotely Hispanic. It's literally just a voice that sounds kind of
It's not like he's like throwing a taco at you or anything
like that.
But I mean, I don't know. I that kind of gets to a bigger conversation of like. well, you talk white or you don't talk black. You know, it's sort of the similar thing where it's just like,
how can we present diversity without, you know, like stereotyping communities? Like, yeah, like it's a question on design. Like, why did they go that direction? Because you can be Spanish, you can be black, you can be Asian, and not have like the colloquial, you know.
That's the main reason why I side at it, mm-hmm. is like, what, why did they go that route with the love book? But then I realize it's a romance language. Spanish is a romance language.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe that's why they decided to go with that, but I don't know.
We will see if there's any.
So is Patois.
We will see if there's any Kotaku articles on this in the next couple of weeks if it escalates right. to that level.
Yeah, but overall, game's a great game so far, and I look forward to delving further into it. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's it for me. So we'll leave it to DJ to finish it all off.
So I have been continuing my trek across the multiverse of universe, whatever.
Madness.
Anyways, yes, yeah, madness is a good word. So playing No Man's Sky, still enjoying that game.
The game came out in 2014, ladies and gentlemen, but still good.
14 or 16? 14?
14. I think okay. it was 14, because okay. it came out near Elite Dangerous or some shit like that. It was close to those two games.
So, yeah, you know, I'm still playing that game, having fun. Me and Cam was going to play Zombie Army 4, and I was waiting for him, so I just jumped on No Man's Sky. I was playing it, and then he was like, oh, let me just jump into No Man's Sky.
DJ, you were right. It was 2016.
It was 2016. Okay. That. Yeah, that's cool. So yeah, he jumped into my game, and No Man's Sky is a fun single player game. Okay, when you go to the route of multiplayer, it becomes a giant clusterfuck of where are you right now? You're on a different planet. You're on my planet. You're in my solar system. Where? What's going on? So this became a probably like 10-minute like trek to figure out where we were and just to connect to each other. Like, we did everything from jumping out of the game entirely to, okay, I'm gonna start a party, I'm gonna start a lobby, I'm gonna invite you to the game, you're gonna jump into my game. There is like No Man's Sky friend codes in this game. It's a clusterfuck. I don't exactly know if this is like a better system than what they had before, because there was a bunch of updates to this game, but that needs to be worked out to the point where I finally got to his planet. I saw the base that he built. It looked cool. It's like, all right, cool. And then we went to try and do something. Oh no, we went to teleport to a space station so I could sell some stuff. And I couldn't go to the same space station he went to, even though we both went through the same portal, because I never been to that space station. So at that point, we were like, let's play Zombie Army. Like, fuck this. So we switched over and played Zombie Army 4. Instead of running the campaign, we decided to do Horde mode. And that's a lot of fun. Like, I think Zombie Army 4 is a games of service. It's a games of service through and through. It's hidden. And you don't really realize that it's a games of service until you actually delve into the menus and, like, see the things that they have to offer. Like, as Sean was saying earlier, you do get three guns, and then you have to purchase the rest of the guns, essentially, or you can buy, like,
I'd say you'd notice it right away that it's a game of service with the way that the menu system is and the way that you have to, like, put together a lobby in order to get a co-op game going. And
see,
like,
for me, like, when I looked at that, I just thought, like, oh, this just has a very interesting way of doing them. Like, I didn't see it as a games of service in terms of, oh, there is a, you get this currency, then you get a second currency that's premium currency. Like, I didn't see that stuff.
So, I don't, like, even think you can earn any type of,
well, yeah,
currency
you can
to do that. So, I mean, most games of service do set you up that kind of way,
right? So you just buy stuff. So I was like, in my mind, when I first saw the game, like, I didn't think of it as games of service because I didn't see those telltales. So I was just like, all right, whatever. But then playing the game with Cameron, it very much was like, oh yeah, no, this is that kind of game. So we did Horde mode for a bit. We pretty much got to wave 15 or something like that. And I would love to play horde mode with the four of us to see how far we could get. Cause like, but just me and Cam, like, you know, we were doing the whole Call of Duty Zombies thing where you leave the last zombie and you go get your supplies and stuff and then run back, kill that final zombie and then prepare for the next horde.
You and I also did horde mode the first time we played it.
We actually got pretty far too, like wave 11 or something like
relatively.
That. Yeah, so, but just me and Cameron, we got to the point where you could just evac from the horde mode and I guess keep all the stuff that you've got. I don't know what the other side to that is, like if you continue playing. But yeah, so we did that and then we decided to do their weekly events, which was basically you play a section, I guess it's in the campaign, but haven't got that far, so I don't know. You play a section from the game where you have to basically just get from point A to point B and do whatever they tell you to do while you're doing it. But they also give you rules. So when we played, there was three rules. The first rule was...
don't talk about Fight Club.
That was a fourth rule. The first rule was you can only damage zombies with their weak points. The second rule was if one of you go down... You can't revive anybody. So if one person goes down, you can revive someone, but if someone dies, then everyone dies essentially. And then third rule was you get infinite pistol. We started this thing and got to the first two enemies and we died at the enemy literally like six times because we were shooting the head of the enemy. We're shooting the back of the zombie. Shooting the legs of the stupid thing. Nothing was working because you have to kill it at its weak point. And we were just like, what the fuck are we supposed to do here? And we got to the point where I was just like, let's just run past this thing and like try to get as far as we can. So we ran past it and apparently that was what you were supposed to do. And I was like, that doesn't feel great at all.
So its weak point was abandonment.
Terrible. Come back.
Critical damage.
So like the next challenge that we got to was basically similar to what we did when we all played together was you have that little blood altar in the middle and you have to kill zombies within that blood altar circle or whatever. Yeah, so we did that and we could not get past that. We just didn't have enough firepower. We didn't have enough healing med pack stuff. It was a mess. So we pretty much stopped there. And I think at that point we both decided that we were just done with the game. But like overall it's a fun experience. It's a very challenging experience. I think in a different time this game would be like really, really high up there in terms of, oh my god, this game offers you so much value in terms of playing with friends. It offers you a pretty good campaign. You get to customize your character. Like it hits a lot of those points, and I think the game's good. It's just that people aren't necessarily looking for that game.
Well, remember when Left 4 Dead was the bee's knees for moment of time? Like that horde mode was very popular during Generation 7, the Xbox 360, PS3 era. Almost every game had a horde mode.
It's less like Left 4 Dead and more like an arcade game with kind of games of service trappings,
right? And it's also third person. I think that's also a big thing too, because a lot of people,
That's why I brought up the arcade game aspect.
But yeah, that's pretty much. I'm sorry, Jesus Christ. The last game that I played was Aerial Knights Never Yield. So this is a game that's on the Switch. The only reason why I know about this game, I played the demo. The only reason why I know about this game is because I watched the Nintendo Indie Showcase, which we'll talk about in a second. And this is basically an endless runner where it's very hip-hop inspired. It's set in a futuristic Tokyo setting, and you play as a black character who has a like robot leg. That's really cool. And you can either slide, parkour over things, you can jump, or you can boost. And you use those four tactics to get as far into level as you can. I think the game was kind of fun to play. What really kind of made me take pause was that I feel like, I really hope, just because I was playing the demo, I hope that they do more than just jump this thing, parkour over this thing, slide under this thing. I hope they like combine that stuff. It'd be nice if there was alternative paths you can take throughout the stage. Like if you were happening to jump over something versus slide under something, it'll take you different routes.
Kind of like Sonic.
Yeah. I didn't see anything like that in the demo I played, but I don't know. I'm going to be watching out for it, though.
Gotcha.
Cool, thanks.
All right. Well, that is what we've been playing for this week. And before we go any further, we just want to put you guys, or point you guys, rather, in the direction of our socials.
Put you on.
We're still trying to get, you know, our numbers up on our YouTube and our IG. Thank you to those who have subscribed or followed us so far, but we're still trying to get our numbers up. So, yeah, follow us.
Hey, everybody. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, your family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now, it's time for the Quick Hits.
All right, this comes from SIE, which is Sony Interactive Entertainment. I nailed it. Basically, inside Sony Interactive Entertainment, Blacks at PlayStation. They have a blog Woo! Post. So they finally did it. It took them forever and a day, but
CP time, baby.
Yeah, they amassed enough black people to do this. Awesome.
Oh shit.
Well, you know what? That's not a improper sentiment. I mean, no, it's not. It does require diversity within to breed more diversity. That's usually how it is.
Right. So we're not going to dig into this now. We're going to actually do a culture cast later on about this and just kind of, you know, really dig into this and see what it's saying and what it means, really. Number two, this comes from Game Byte. New 007 game looks hopeful as GoldenEye trademark is renewed. There's not really much information about that. I just wanted to say that out there.
Late last year, they had the remaster that dropped. Mm-hmm. Like the code for it dropped online. It was, you know, anyone can get the source code and play the Xbox Live, or potentially it was made by Microsoft, the remaster, for it to be released on the Xbox Live way back when the 007 trademark's all fucked up. But people are saying this might allow for that to come into being.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, interesting enough, this could be the partnership between Nintendo and Microsoft.
Quite possibly. I would not be surprised if Nintendo was like one of the last holders of that trademark.
Yeah.
Because just go to Google and look up 007 trademark. It is gross. It is just all over the place in terms of people that own that image.
But yeah, we'll find out whenever that happens, or we won't find out if nothing happens. Number three, this comes from GameSpot. There was a Resident Evil showcase, and basically, I'm just going to give you the rundown of stuff happens. If you follow Resident Evil, you knew about this and you saw this. If you don't, then here's what you missed. Resident Evil Village featured multiple demos because the demos are already out, or out and gone now. There's going to be another demo either this weekend or the following weekend. That's going to be... Anyways, look that up. It's complicated and confusing. They showed a new trailer, you know, more Resident Evil Village stuff. The Resident Evil Village will bring back Mercenary Modes, which is cool for those who don't know. Mercenary Modes is a pretty much an action shooter set in Resident Evil Village.
It's like a heavy arcade version of the core game.
Yeah, it's basically time trials, and you have to do this thing before time runs out. There'll also be Resident Evil 4 will return in VR, but this will be on the Oculus Rift? It's not Rift. Oculus Quest 2, because I don't know which one that is anymore.
Electric Boogaloo.
That's Amazon's. Oculus is Facebook's VR.
Yeah.
Thing.
We'll have Resident Evil will be coming to Dead by Daylight, which is cool. for those.
We don't know who, though. Douglas. We don't know if it's going to be Nemesis or Mr. X. Or
I'm surprised both. It took them this long, to be honest.
Or yeah. both.
And then the last big thing was that Resident Evil Infinite Darkness comes to Netflix this summer. And I will watch that.
Hey.
Now, they're also doing a live-action Resident Evil movie, a reboot of the movies, right?
And a series.
Cool.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot of Resident Evil, yeah. man. That's an endearing franchise, dog. Mm-hmm. That franchise is...
It's a series that never dies because it's a zombie series.
Speaking of never die, never yield. Number four, this comes from The Verge. Nintendo's latest batch of Switch indie games includes Fez and a sequel to Oxenfree. So, Nintendo had a indie world and... I watched it and it was really good. Like it was, I think the showcase, it was an hour long. It was very succinct in terms of them showing
it was like 24 minutes.
Was 24?
24 minutes. Yeah, it was pretty short.
What the fuck was I
DJ
doing?
DJ had commercials.
I remember seeing a video on my YouTube of it, and I saw a 24-minute video.
No, you're right. You're right. The article says 20-minute event. I guess I zoned out for about 30 minutes, and then I was like, oh, wait, let me go.
My man watched this shit three times. It was just that good.
DJ made it sound like he made it sound like it was long. It was not long.
The event was watching him.
So, okay, so it was very succinct then because it was 20 minutes.
My man is in full dad mode already. I was watching that. Don't change it.
It wasn't like, not like Xboxes, which was like 4 hours or some shit like that.
Exactly.
So I'm happy it wasn't that long.
So within the apparent 20-minute showcase, they had reveals of different games. And they also had devs talk about the game. So they got a lot done within the apparent 20 minutes because you guys say 20 minutes. Even though it was an hour long. So what they showed was Road 96, which is a narrative-focused game, mix of adventure, exploration, and puzzle solving. They showed Oxenfree 2, which looks just as mysterious and crazy as the first one. They showed Ollie Ollie World, which is a really interesting 2D skateboarding game. It's side-scrolling. Ollie Ollie World takes it a step further, where it's pretty much like Sonic. Mm. Where how you can go like back and forth in the scene, like you can do that now in that game, and I think it looks really cool. As I mentioned earlier in the what we've been playing, Aerial Knights Never Yield, they showed that. They showed The Longing, which confused me. I didn't know what I was seeing. It's a 2D side scroller where the character, I guess, doesn't blink or something. I don't know. And then they showed Hindsight and The Last Stop. Check this out if you are interested in getting some indies for your Switch that looked really good. Oh, and of course, Fez. Yeah, check it out. Number five, this comes from Games Radar. Sucker Punch is hiring for a spectacular multiplayer game. Anyone want to guess what this is?
I have no clue.
Tenchu.
It's Legends, everyone. it's Legends. It's Ghost of Tsushima, the multiplayer mode. Legends. That's what it is.
Also, like with the add-on to the previous game, they're making it its own game.
I mean, that's of course that's what everyone is speculating. So it's possible that Ghost of Tsushima 2 will basically have a single player and multiplayer mode, maybe akin to Last of Us, how it had a strong single player and then a multiplayer mode. Or this could just be a fully fleshed out Ghost of Tsushima Legends, and they make this and they have this going while they're developing Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Yeah, I see them.
Just make Onimusha.
I see them using many of the assets in the first Ghost of Tsushima game and allowing for like a co-op story mode, basically. Like that's the multiplayer. I don't see person versus person on Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, no. Even though the multiplayer Legends was co-op, it was exclusively co-op. Mm-hmm. There was no competitive.
So you're just going to area, killing everyone, going to the next one, killing everyone. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That sounds all right.
I am down with that as well. Speaking of down, number six, this comes from Games Radar. Assassin's Creed Valhalla Rider wants the series to go to Brazil.
This is Brazil. Great.
The next assassin is going to be doing capoeira.
Hell at Carnival, yeah. Yes.
And here's the funny thing about the Assassin's Creed community. Like, they've been pulling for Assassin's Creed to be in Japan for the longest amount of time, which is like among many games that have communities that have different locations. Like, we're gonna bring Tokyo.
Like Grand Theft
Auto. We're gonna bring Tokyo. It's like, well, you know, a lot of these creative minds don't want to fall into people's expectations outside. Like they want to make sure that it fits. So I'm fine with Brazil. I think there's a lot of rich stories, you know, people that play Black Flag, like there is a, you know, island Caribbean component to it. So it could work. Easily. Yeah.
Also, at this point, it kind of defeats the purpose to do Assassin's Creed in Japan after Ghost of Tsushima came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like they couldn't do it, but...
They wouldn't want to.
No, they could, but they would have to make sure that it's as good or better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, don't even try
it. It's not. Number seven, this comes from VGC, Video Game Chronicles. BioShock 4 will be an open world game, a job advert has suggested. Number eight.
I still haven't forgiven them for the ending of Infinite.
I barely remember the ending for Infinite. I'm not really a BioShock person.
Good for you.
Yeah.
There was always a lighthouse. There was always a girl. Something.
Oh yeah, it's like Infinite lighthouses, right?
Oh yeah. Oh boy. Hey, you know what? BioShock 1 was great. BioShock 2 was cheeks. Infinite was pretty good. But
Hey. BioShock 1 and 2 was on the PlayStation Plus list a while back. Hope y'all redeemed it.
Yeah. Sean, it was the whole collection. Yeah.
Well, just 1 and 2. And then I think I played Infinite on the PS3 when it was on the PS Plus, whatever.
Yeah, PS Plus, I redeemed it. PS Plus had the BioShock collection on it, and I made sure to redeem that.
See, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's a smart guy. not the DJ character. he makes bad choices. They're not sexy. Anyway, moving on.
The last bit of quick hit, it comes from Gabriel Forber. Days Gone is coming to PC next month. What's not coming to Days Gone is a sequel.
DJ, you a bitch for that one.
Here's the question. Do I play Days Gone on PS5 or do I play it on the PC? That's the question.
I don't know, man.
Because I saw the play trailer on the PS5. For it. I saw the trailer for it. I didn't see too many quality of life improvements between.
Hey, I got a disc.
Version.
You can borrow it. Wait, it was free, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was free.
Yeah, I think it was.
It's in the collection, man. Play that shit, Jordan.
I'll check it out.
This month is free. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that has been it for the quick hits, and now we're going to go into our heavy hitter. Take it away, DJ.
Hey, it's me again. All right. So basically, we're just going to talk about E3 for a bit because they came back. This was reported last week, but we ran out of time, so we're going to do it this week. I'm just going to list off a couple of stuff, and then we can actually talk about it. So the story that broke last week was that E3 is going to be a digital-only event this year. It's being backed by Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two, Warner Brothers, and Koch Media. Koch.
I think that's Coke. Coke.
Is it Coke?
K-O-C-H, that's Coke.
Cocaine.
So,
like the Coke brothers.
It's a strong lineup, especially with the two platform holders on board. However, there are some noticeable absentees, including Sony, EA, Activision Blizzard, Sega, and Bandai Namco, and Square Enix. The event takes place between June 12th and June 15th, so there's still time for other publishers to sign up. So, as Ed just said, Sony's not in attendance this year. They haven't been in attendance for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And basically, Nintendo and Xbox... Nintendo started not going to E3, and then Xbox followed that, and then Sony followed that, I believe. So last year, when E3 didn't happen, there was the summer game event that Jeff Keighley did. And then there was also the bunch of other events that the other industry people and companies did as well. There was about 20 plus conferences that happened last year between June through August. So for this year, Jeff Grubb actually tweeted out his list of events that's happening this year. The first two, which was Nintendo Indie World Showcase and then the Resident Evil Showcase. And then apparently April 21st, there's going to be an Oculus Gaming Showcase, followed by a Flying World. Okay. There's about 15 or so things on here. E3 is also included on here as well. So basically, between May and July, we're going to have a lot of gaming stuff. The biggest thing, of course, will be E3, because E3 has the most history. My question to the group is, Sony not, quote unquote, being at E3, what do you think about that?
I think it's a mistake this year. I think before they had righteous ground to stand on and a whole lot of clout to do that. You know, I was for them sitting it out the last time. This time, though, especially after we've been talking for the last couple of weeks off and on about the power of Game Pass and Sony's inability to square up with that, I would think that they would be there at least to reveal what they're going to do about that. And them not being there this year is troubling, to say the least.
I'm of a different mind. And I totally understand where you're coming from, Marcus. But if Sony does not have anything to demonstrate right now, them being next to Nintendo and Microsoft would put them at a disadvantage, because we've seen Microsoft,
I also agree with that.
Microsoft in the past underperforming next to PlayStation, and you know, it kind of like sets up the theme for the fall. But I still think Sony's going to have some type of like video game showcase summer. Likely July, like and that will allow for more eyes to be on it for them.
Assume that Sony is gonna put a PlayStation event around E3 time, because that's what they've done.
Or July at the latest.
I don't think, I think it's going to be in June. Like the last few years when they've been outside of E3, they've put event up during E3 time.
Right.
During that
so block. You think at this point they're just sticking to their guns and saying like, we backed out of E3 because we don't plan to come back to E3. And so maybe this is them just sticking to their guns on that and like being, you know, a company of their word, I guess.
It's funny because Nintendo Direct kind of informed both companies to have external mini trade shows related to their product throughout the year. But I think out of both of them, like Nintendo has a strong Direct, but clearly wants to keep an E3 presence. Microsoft has like a so-so external thing. You have Major Nelson doing his weekly things, you know, which has been going on for a long period of time now, which has switched to a podcast format. But then, you know, the other side of the Riker sale is Sony, which is going to be holistically, this is our event. That is it, you know, so like they could still retain that, you know, Sony showcase event while having some presence. But to the original point, Sony's like trying to get their things together. But also Sony has a big drop that week, Ratchet and Clank. In my opinion, Ratchet and Clank's the biggest game of this summer. So, yeah, I mean, like, Sony is not, you know, any legs behind anyone. Like, Sony's still the front runner of this console race right now. And whatever decision making that they have behind the scenes, we're not going to feel for another 2 years. But they're not in a deficit at all. Like, they're fine. Like, this is, we're just noticing it because they've been so successful so far.
What do you think, Sean? What's your thoughts?
Yeah.
I wait, is that a period after at the end of that, Sean?
Yes.
Sounds like I plead the fifth. Okay, so I see both sides to it. Like, yeah, Sony is very much so successful right now, and like what they're providing to the community, it's selling, people are buying it, you can't find a PS5.
Yeah,
but it is very disappointing that they are holding this firm stance of, yeah, no, we're not going to go to E3, especially when you have Nintendo there and Xbox there, and like more so Nintendo than Xbox, because Nintendo was the first to be like, we don't fucking need this, we're gone. And
yeah, we have Nintendo Directs like every four or five months,
and their Directs are like superb
bangers,
so yeah. And it's just like, I think Phil Spencer actually made a quote about this, saying that you know, it's really good to see the community coming together at times like this and so on and
again.
So forth, and it's just like
symbolically,
yeah, right, and it's one of those things where right now, although PlayStation is successful, their image is starting to wane in terms of their decision that they're making, and
the chinks in their armor are showing.
Yeah. And especially with the whole Jason Schreier stuff coming out about the Naughty Dog stuff and The Last of Us remake, like, it doesn't necessarily...
Well, that went deeper than what we read before. Apparently, he was a... Did we already report on that, like, the deeper story?
What exactly?
Yeah, go forward with it.
So, the reason they took the game from those developers that gave it to Naughty Dog is so they have something to work on in the between. Meantime while they're mm-hmm. waiting for... like, their next project is in pre-production, so instead of laying everybody off, mm-hmm. here's your shit that you've already worked on before. This is your property anyway. Well, quote-unquote property. The people that were working on it, that was like a side project, as they said before. They already had some shit to work on, but that was a side project that they probably had no business doing.
Initially, it sounded more insidious than it actually was. It actually is...
Well, Studio Bend was still being reallocated to the remake... And that's why the Studio Bend people still left, because their game was canceled. Like, it still reinforces the story that Sony is very much so focused on a AAA
big
game. Yeah,
That's still a thing.
Yeah.
But it's going to be another Naughty Dog AAA. Like, a lot of the irksome nature of that story is Naughty Dog was a small developer
mm-hmm.
that was cultivated into this juggernaut of a studio.
Yeah.
And they're like, why aren't you giving Studio Bend, which had a...
more of a chance.
65 to 75% game that was still profitable. Like,
why can't you let them get a chance to become a AAA studio? Right.
Because like they're still doing other stuff to... I don't know. I need to find this article. That's a whole
conversation for another time.
To
last point, there's this article that Sean Layden was quoted in before he left that talked about this direction of Sony and just how difficult that's going to be as a nice term in terms of resilience as the industry develops, because shit's getting more expensive.
Yeah, like, you just can't focus everything on AAA properties because it takes so much money to develop them.
It was something along those lines of the unsustainability of that.
Right, but just to get back to E3, though, like, I feel like... Again, it's one of those things where, you know, we're basing our takes off of what we have information-wise. Of course, Sony could be holding a fucking drop, like killer drops, and they're just waiting for that E3 press event that they're going to have, or their games press event they're going to have.
Direct.
Yeah, during E3. Yeah. Like, everything could change in a matter of 20-minute or a 30-minute showcase or whatever. But I think right now, it does feel kind of like... Again, big PS3 vibes, like Sony is doing a whole walled garden thing, and it's not the right direction.
The only reason why we're so apprehensive right now is because of the language of decision makers. Mm-hmm. It's because of Jim Ryan's language. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it is. Like, it's like there is a part of speculation, but using this man who is a professional, who is an executive, who should be taken for their word, use certain language in regards to legacy, in regards to backwards compatibility, in regards to other aspects that are considered quality of life features that are, you know, being somewhat scoffed at, you have to have your reservations.
Yeah, they're just not communicating. They've stopped properly communicating with their audience, so we're just left to just assume and speculate off of what we get, and then what we get is pretty negative stuff, so we're just like, what the fuck is happening? Meanwhile, the other side of the fence, Xbox, is just like shooting all fucking fireworks in the sky. We got this on Game Pass. We got this on Game Pass.
Yeah.
We got your mama on Game Pass. It's just like,
wow.
And actually engaging their community in a meaningful way.
Hey, I follow Phil Spencer. He's technically on my friends list. I follow him, and someone in his household is playing games all the time. No. Like, he plays a shit ton of Destiny too.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, it's kind of bad news until it's good news or something to that effect.
Right.
But
it's guilty till proven innocent with Sony right now.
But of course, we'll see, and we'll change our minds when they finally drop PS6 coming this year, because, you know, why not?
Let's go!
PS5 was a wash. We're swiping the slate clean. PS6, if put you, in your ass.
If you take the place face off your PS5, it's a PS6. Ta-da!
You can buy your PS4. To your PS2,
right?
PS6. But yeah, take us home, DJ.
Mm-hmm. This has been another episode of Press X Start Podcast, the award-winning, multi-award-winning Press X Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps, and like and subscribe on your favorite YouTube channel. It's our channel. In case you missed any of this, you can find all details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, where we'll be talking more about Outriders, Zombie Army 4, Overwatch.
Yeah. It Takes Two.
It Takes Two.
All right.
Peace.
Uno out.
Man.